Let's pray. Father, help me this morning to deliver this like how you would, what you want to say, and what I feel like you're doing, kind of, in not just our church, but in the world. You're creating disciples, and you're calling us back to a place of nothing but you. So, Lord, I pray that you would just tattoo that. Only the stuff that you have to say. Be like good chicken today. I'd be like a chicken wing, Lord. Eat only your chicken, and they'd spit the bones out, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So the mini kind of one part two, what I'm going for this next couple weeks is a man reborn, right? Where it's a logo, man reborn, Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, you'll notice a little little stuff there she did. The logo maker got clever. I like that. Yeah, a man reborn. A man reborn. I had some other potential titles that were like a man corrected. Doesn't sound good. A man of God. Okay, it's boring. A man going the wrong way, a man I can relate to, a man that was set up and then set apart. But I went with a man reborn, and hopefully this next week you're going to get a full complete picture of it. I'm going to try to leave you right in the place you're like, I want some more. I'm like, no, you can't have any more. It's time for a picnic. So I'm just like teasing. I'm just hoping, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I appreciate it. Just get you right up there. It's like, you want one of these cosmic brownies? Psych, this is mine, you know? Not going to have it. Saul of Tarsus is a man reborn. Let's define or the look of reborn, you know, the look of reborn. The actual born again should all have maybe some similar things in common. I thought the actual born again, the reborn, should have some essential things in common. They should all be displaying a life that's been completely changed. Because if you're reborn into something else, you don't look, act, or focus the same. It's a new life. Completely changed. At being questing for God's new life and a new focus is a reborn principle, I think. So let's just look first of all at what Jesus has to say about reborn. Yeah, let's go with Jesus first. Always go with Jesus first. Let's go start with him. John 3. Because I want to talk about Saul of Tarsus, but we got to know what Jesus means. What's important? Go ahead in John 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee, similar to Saul. After dark one evening, I'll pause. I'm going to be slow rolling, Bob. Keep with me, but I'm slow rolling. You know what I'm saying? I'm running and rolling, okay? After dark one evening, he came to Jesus, maybe because earlier that day, he couldn't sleep. Or just lay in bed like, man, I can't. I heard that podcast, that thing. I'm chewing about it. Or your spouse said something just before they go to sleep. I'll sleep about selling the house. What? You know, so maybe he'd hear something from Jesus in the town square like, man, I'm laying up at night thinking about it, you know. Maybe he couldn't sleep. He couldn't feel settled. Or maybe he just wanted more like, man, I got enough of Jesus in the morning. I want some Jesus in the nighttime. I don't know. Or maybe he was afraid to be seen going to Jesus. But either way, I love that he did one thing. He had a question and he went right to the source. I think we, right, as the children of God, I think we could run into Google or pastor or someone before we run right to the source. And what I love, he had a question, you know, go to the source. Well, so-and-so said, did they? Go to the source. So we're going to go to the source. Nicodemus went to the source, and there's a reason he went to the source. He came to speak with Jesus. I pray that we do that as well before we talk to anyone else. But we all want to see how God feels about something. Always go straight to him. So he said, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you. We all know. So he's coming from a place, we all know. Why? He sent you to us to teach. It's obvious to me because your signs and your miracles are evidence that God's with you. Like no one can talk smack. He's doing stuff, right? Jesus replied to him, I tell you the truth. So you come to it at night and he goes, man, I know that you're the guy. I've been waiting for you. And everyone really knows it, but everybody's kind of like, it's not politically correct to just be shouting Jesus in the streets right now. But I'm talking about now. I'm talking about then. Right? So they're like, so I came at night to say, hey, I know you're the guy. You're the one. Right? And then Jesus says, okay, I tell you the truth. Tell me some more truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's Jesus. Okay. Jesus is saying being reborn is essential. I want to see your kingdom life. Then he said, do you want to see my kingdom? You got to be reborn. To really come to Christ, to be saved, born again, we have all these different nicknames, right? Reborn. Jesus said you have to be awakened to who he is, and you have to live a brand new life. That's what he said. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't get in. So let's keep going. John 3, because I love Nicodemus' reply. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? Now, that's something the modern day like, what? Come on, huh? What? You must be born again. Huh? Like that makes to us now like, why, poor Nicodemus, what an idiot. No, no. Imagine you heard that for the first time. You came sneaking, like Jesus speed up. You go, hey, I know you're God. He goes, yeah, you have to be reborn. And to him, he's like, what? What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Say, Nicodemus, 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 you silly little freak. Jesus replied, I assure you. He replied, I assure you. What I'm saying is solid truth you can take to the bank. Jesus said, whatever he says, you can take to the bank. But he emphasized, like, I assure you, what I'm about to say now, you can take it, you can stand on it for the test of time. This is it. Okay, Jesus, you emphasize that. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Now, first of all, I love the way Jesus put water, natural birth, as opposed to the way, the creepy way Nicodemus talked about it. Yeah, in a creepy way. And the Spirit part is what Jesus was emphasizing here. So, yeah, you have to actually be born, you know, have to come out and be born as a human, but there's more to that. He says humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives life spiritually. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. Look over that side. Look at Pastor Sharon. You must be born again. She's like, don't. I just had half a coffee, Pastor. Don't even mess with me. All right, let's pick on someone. Let's pick on Sue. She's about to get married. You must be born again. Sue's like, I know, Papa. I know. Say, es muy importante. Es muy importante. 1 Peter 1:3, the New Living. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. That's the truth. That's why I get emotional. I didn't earn it at all. Actually, I was earning the opposite of it. You know what I mean? I had people that were trying hard, being real religious, and real crunchy about the rules, like Paul. They had the law. Jesus said the law is important. Remember, you got a steak. You don't just want all salt. You need a little pepper in there. You don't want all pepper. You got to have the right blend of grace and law. Jesus can show that. But you got to have grace. And I understand grace because I'm not a person who deserved nothing. I know who I was. And without Jesus, nothing. Nothing but destruction. Say grace. It says, because God raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with great expectation. So here's my first question. Do we live a new life? Or we just talk a new life? Well, we've got to be the church, right? I'm just talking about the church. Say, I am the church. I'm the church now, right? So do I live a new life? So I got to check myself or I wreck myself, right? Now I check myself. Do I? But do we live our new life with great expectation? How you doing with your great expectation? What? Huh? What? Born again. Great expectation. I was just asking for a friend. Mature content is ahead. A brief PSA to those professing to be born again. That would be me, Kirsten, and Miley. Okay. 1 John 3:9. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Say easy. We learn that in the SALT series, right? We should practice other stuff. Like, practice stuff, just try not to practice sin. And if you're like, well, I'm just going to keep practicing that, and Jesus is like, okay. Those reborn do not make a practice of sinning. They don't make a practice of it because God's life is in them, so they can't keep on sinning. You can't justify the continual, unrepentant, unturned from sin because it's not a picture of the reborn. That's not a picture of the reborn, you know. You can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So I already have a slide. It's not fun, though. I think I have a slide. We must be reborn, and it must be obvious to God and to others. Say simple. It's simple, but not easy, right? It's simple. Like, that makes sense, but it's just not easy, right? And we're all imperfect, so we go, I already failed this morning. Yeah, right. But I'm not going to make a practice of that. I'm not going to be mad at spilling coffee to the degree I might have been mad, but no one was there to see it, but I know. It happened before. It's coffee. Coffee has a will of its own sometimes, you know. That coffee. What an incredible example, though, Saul of Tarsus is of a man reborn. Like, I'm glad his story's in there because I go, okay, New Testament guy that was really a punk that you loved and you got him out of that. All right, maybe there's hope for me, Lord. So let's get some background on, let's do a background check on Saul. He's considered the Hebrew of Hebrews, you know, but Philippians 3:5, we'll start there. Now, usually I go through chapter and verse of a book, and if I'm skipping through something, I want you to read the rest, because that's like, you know, if you only eat on Sundays, goodness sake. You know, as you see, I eat more than on Sundays. I eat a couple times on Sunday, you know. But read the book. Read the rest of the book. Saul speaking, and we often refer to him as Paul, and it gets confusing in the church. Is he Saul? Is he Paul? This is how I look at it. And just how I look at it doesn't mean it's truth. It's just I'm kind of broken. So you don't have to look at it like this, but this is how I look at it. I had a buddy named Thomas Nicholas Shea, one of my best friends from kindergarten to college, right? But I met his wife for the first time a few years ago out in Scottsdale, and I go, Nick. And I was talking, because growing up, his name was Thomas Nicholas Shea, but if you were close to him, he was Nick. So I go, Nick. And his wife reaches over and goes, why does he keep calling you Nick? Same guy. And in other parts of town, he was known as TNS, right? And he was the Shea Bird. And he was... And when his mom was mad, he was Thomas. I was house enough. I heard enough Thomases. Thomas, it's time for Sean to go home. That's Mrs. Shea. See you, Nick. So Paul, Saul, say same guy. Same guy, same guy. Okay. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, say the law. He's like, I followed the law. I was on it. Even as 8 days old, I was in. Okay. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Both my parents were Israel. And a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if ever there was one. A real Hebrew if ever there was one. Hey, Saul, Paul, you brag much? Tone that down. You know? But he's getting a point across here. I was a member of the Pharisees. That's a tough club to join. The Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. So we know this about Saul. He was a deeply religious guy. Saul had a rep. Saul thought he was the cat's meow. Saul was committed to God as far as he thought. Because he'd only been born one time. So he was serving as best he knew with the one time he had. He'd only been born once. I ran into that experience. I knew hardcore Catholicism growing up. And I knew when to kneel, when to bow, when to light, what saints did what. And I was in as a kid. And then, you know, I drifted. Drifters laugh at drifters, just want you to say. More background. Saul of Tarsus was so hardcore anti-Christian, he was anti the way, that he approved of the killing of Stephen. That's the equivalent. Here's the equivalent of that. Well, I'm going to read it in a second, but here's the equivalent. Say some big religious thug comes in here, right? And he takes out one of us and orders a brutal, murderous hit on him. That's what we're talking about. Because we read about it, you don't always think about it that way. This is what's going on. Stephen was the church's first martyr. Saul of Tarsus was all about that way. Acts of the Apostles 7:54-58. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, which is a good place to pause, disciples, you can only endure anything if he's with you. If he's not with you, it's hard to endure anything. But if he is with you, you can endure anything. Stephen gazed steadily, it's a message by itself, into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus standing in a place of honor at God's right hand, and he told them, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man, another cool nickname. Jesus, the Son of Man, so he's got cool nicknames, the Messiah, Son of David, right? The Great I Am. So I see Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. Here's a little clue. The mob was ticked. You know, the mob is always ticked when you don't go their way. The mob is always ticked when things don't go their way. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats. You don't want to get blood on your new swag. Or maybe they just need some more motion so they could throw that rock a little harder. I got some things to say. They took off their coats and laid them at the feet of the young man named Saul. Watch our stuff, because you're a rising star. Right? And that starts a whole new quest for Paul. He becomes anti-Christian. And there was maybe a season in my life, maybe I was an anti-Christian, but I was definitely anti the church, and maybe I was anti does God even exist. I spent maybe a deeper part of my life than I wanted to in that. Anybody? Yeah, I did. And then there was an anti-part to me, because I kept seeing stuff that I thought, well, they say the church, the hypocrites, and yeah, the church isn't perfect, only Jesus was. But I had a hard time. I was anti. At points in my life, I was anti, just being honest. So I can relate to this quest maybe that he's on. So let's pick up the story of a man reborn in Acts 9. Because he's determined that his way is right and that his way, life focus, is about to go in one other direction. Acts 9:1-2. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder. Like, breathing it. It's coming out. Whenever he's talking, it's like the core of you. Like, if you talk to some of us during this season, you're going to hear too much fantasy basketball. It's just, we're breathing. Yeah, see, my family's like, I'm talking to my wife and daughter. They're like, huh? We don't care about Russell Westbrook. What are you talking about? I'm breathing it in and out sometimes, you know? Ever have something you're just either so into or so ticked off by that it comes, no matter who you're talking to, you're scanning that Walmart and say, how's your day? Well, I'll tell you how my day is. Oof. So here's Saul breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord and relentless in his search for believers. So he went to the high priest and asked for letters of authority from him to the synagogue of Damascus. So that if he found any men or women there belonging to the way, believers, followers of Jesus, the Messiah, men and women alike, he could arrest them and bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Now, Saul feels like he's got a righteous plan. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a not so godly focus and God had to give you a different plan? If you ever come into Jesus, that's exactly how you come to him. Right. Acts 9:3-7 in the Amplified. As he saw traveled, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him, displaying the glory and majesty of Christ. And he fell to the ground. He fell to the ground and heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? And I love this because God still speaks to individuals. Like he will talk to you individually. If you take the time to listen, I guarantee he wants to talk to you as an individual. You got to carve stuff away. Sometimes you got to make space in your mind. You got to set an environment. You got to practice. It's practice. I talked to God once. You know, I was in traffic. I said, God, why don't you do this? And then I put on. No, I'm talking about talking to God. Practice talking to God. So here's Saul, who thought he was practiced his whole life. He said all the right prayers, all the right times, washed his hands all the right time. From 8 days old, he was in, you know. Saul, why are you persecuting me and oppressing me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? I was very tempted to play classic rock, Cassie, but I didn't. I wanted to play, who are you? But if only you know classic rock, you only know what I'm saying, right? Young people are like, what are you talking about? The rest of us old people are going, No wonder Dr. Hattie said no, you know. But who are you, Lord? Ever had that moment? Who are you? Like, I really need to know who you are. You know? But sometimes we have to get to our moment. Say, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And he answered him, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up. I could have put music, get up, stand up. Time to get up. Say, get up. Get up and go. Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You'll be told what you must do. I don't know if you've noticed this trend that's happening, but God has been using a lot of must statements. You must be born again, what you must do. Now, treat those not as suggestions, please. Whenever God says must, don't go, well, maybe he's, you know, if you must do something, that means you must do it, all right? Lordship, direction, change is coming for Saul. Say reborn. He said, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him were terrified. I like that part. I was like, okay. Terrified and stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. I have a slide. Do I? When God says must, it's not a suggestion. Must is never a suggestion. Acts 9, 8 through 9. Saul got up from the ground, but though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. That's like most of us till we run into Jesus. We thought we see a lot of stuff, but. And so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was unable to see for 3 days, and neither did he eat or drink. A man reborn. Acts 9, 10. Now this is such a juicy part. It's juicy. Acts 9:10. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple. Say, thank God. In Damascus, there was a disciple. Thank God he had a disciple, a follower, an obeyer of God's ways. He had at least one guy that he could ask to do a hard job. See, lots of people are like, yeah, I'm a disciple, I'm in, but can he ask us to do a hard job? Like, really, we got to ask, can you ask me to do a hard job? Like, what do you mean? Like, move to Mexico? I don't know. Hard job, like, go to the crunchy neighbor next door? Like, hard job, like. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple. Say, that's me. There was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he answered, here I am, Lord. That's a good response. Anytime that God says something to you, our response should be, yes, I'm right here. Sometimes, like, I had a moment, yes, I'm going to confess this, and I'm not going to be emotional, hopefully, about it, but I had a moment a couple weeks ago that Andrew was leaving Common Ground. You know, tiny little three baskets of shrimp, you know, just a tiny little thing. And I gave her a partial hug earlier. Unfortunately, if you're new to the church, or if you're going to stay around long, you're going to get inadvertently hugged by people. You have to go, hold on, I'm not a hugger, because you'll just get hugged, you know, and it's scrunched up. So Andrew's been a while, so I scrunched her, but I felt like the Holy Spirit to go back and give her another big hug. And I said, I didn't, was that God? I said, I'll do that next week. Next week never came. I live with it. But let that be something that we learn, right? When he speaks, say, yes, sir, I'm right here. I'm right here. You can ask me to do a hard job. Now, also in this Ananias, I have to get some clarity. He's not the same Ananias and Sapphira from chapter 5 of Acts. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but God judged him falsely for telling God he's going to do something and deceive God and didn't do what he said. Dead. Not the same guy. Recall, the real disciples are willing to obey and endure anything God asks. So this is a real disciple. You can always endure what God asks of you, but it's very hard to endure what people ask of you. And how many of us pick up people asks before we get God asks? We're so weighed down, and that's not always the same thing, right? It's not. I said, look at the time because there's a chili cook-off. Thank you, Pastor Sean. I did, and I'm doing okay. Acts 9:10 through 14. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said to him, Ananias, and he answered, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up. Disciples should always take the submissive position. Get up and go. Say, get up and go. Go to the street called Straight. You know, Paul's current way of life is about to be straightened out. So I thought that was funny. I chuckled to myself every time I read that. Go and ask the house of Judas for a man named man from Tarsus named Saul. I wonder what Ananias did in that moment. Like, did you really hear that? Saul of Tarsus, isn't that the guy who approved Stephen's death? Isn't that the guy that dragged Nana out to the town square and had her killed brutally? Isn't that, you want me to go see that dude? I'll go see that dude with an axe handle. What? And the house of Judas, he's from Tarsus, his name is Saul. For he's praying there and had a vision and has seen a man named Ananias come in. God knows who you are and he knows who he can send. He knows who he can send. And it's just because you're afraid doesn't mean he can't send you, because he knows people that are afraid he can send. Ever do something you know was scary, but you did it, and something good came out of it, but it was hard? He knew he could send you. Man, he sent one of the toughest guys in the city to me. He had to, you know? That was a hard case. A vision of a man named Ananias come in and place his hands on him that he might regain his sight. Thank God he had a disciple, because this dangerous assignment is about to change the world. This Saul of Tarsus is about to change the world. God's setting him up. He's going one way, but he has this reborn encounter, and he's not going to live the same murderous, religious attitude he was living. He's going to do something completely different. And the way he does it differently, God's going to use to change the whole world. So Ananias got to be stoked, right? Ananias answered the Lord. This is a real relationship with disciple and his God. Lord, I've heard from many people about this man. All right, I'm going to do this for Jody and Randy, because they always are okay with classic rock. He had a nasty reputation as a cruel dude. They said he was ruthless. They said he was rude. He had a nasty reputation, and it preceded him. And Aya says, hey, many people, they know, God, this anti-Jesus guy, he's got power now, and he's got authority. He said, many people have said this about him, and especially how much suffering and evil he's brought on your saints, your people in Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has the authority from the high priest to put chains on everyone at New Season. I mean, he has authority to put chains on all who call on your name, confessing you as Savior. Sounds like a hard assignment. It's a good thing he had a reborn guy that could do it. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said, go. Perfectly within his right as Lord. Ever get in a conversation like, Lord, I don't want to, but he says, do it anyways. And then he says, just do it. In some nicer way than maybe I would. It's like, okay, I've heard you, and I rule that you do it. You know, go. For Saul is my chosen instrument. My instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings and as well as the people of Israel. I'm pulling up short again this week in a minute. Not going to do the same thing as last week. Don't stress. Some of you just throw up in your mouth. I want you that nervous. But I do want to stop here for a minute, because Lord willing, we're going to hear the rest of it next week. Saul's an example about a man who responds to a moment when Jesus says, I've got something for you to do and it's going to change your life. Ananias responds when he says, I'm going to send you to something hard and dangerous, but if you'll do it, the world's going to change because you did it. So I'm leaving us with these thoughts. before we go eat chili and goof off. And I do want to goof off. I'm in the mood to goof off. And I will stop at Walmart to find a cosmic brownie before I go. Unless anyone, did anyone bring any by chance? Anyone? Anyone Bueller? No? I'm going to get one. All right. Maybe on my way home, so I can be my midnight brownie. So no, no one tastes. Hey, Pastor, how many extra cosmic brownies you have? Like, none of your business. Don't pat me down. Okay. So before we go have chili and goof off, I have a few questions to ponder. Have you ever thought you were right and you weren't? Have you ever needed to be corrected? Have you ever felt like God gave you a hard assignment? Yeah, I felt like I had a few hard assignments that I never thought I'd get through. And I thought, I'm going to keep failing this. Lord, you got the wrong guy. I can't do that. It's so, not only is it hard, I don't want to do it. You want me to go, get up and go. Ever to be like a kid, I'll go, and you're pushing them, you know, out the door, and they got their feet stuck in. They're like, I'm going. I've done it that way before. Maybe you're a reborn man. So how about this? Ever feel that if you surrender to God completely, that He might just have something very important for you to do? Like, what if you, God's just waiting for that one moment for you to go, I have something so important for you, you don't have no idea. And you think it's insignificant, and I'm not trying to break you down, I'm trying to build you up and send you someplace. There are hard assignments all around us. We're going to walk to the park and have fun and goof off, but there's going to be hard assignments probably there too. Like, can we be the disciples in Apache Junction that He can send to hard assignments? I hope so, because I was once hard assignment. Any other hard assignments out there? I was hard. You don't know. So maybe some of your fear of giving your heart complete to what God wants you to do is because you know He's got something really important for you to do. And maybe this is the season I go, I'm going to start doing the important thing. Come on, I'm in. Right. Reborn is essential. Say essential. Yeah, reborn is essential. Reborn has very important assignments. So what I'd like to do today is call Pastor Jody up. And I'm going to have her pray out over our questions and over our assignments. And then if somehow, like she's good at, she's amazing at what she can do, you know. I'm going to ask her a hard thing. Yeah, I'm going to ask her a hard thing. I want you to pray over the questions and be led by the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to pray us out to go goof off. It's like salt and pepper. Can you do salt and pepper? Okay.
I think it's important to hear what the Father's saying to us right now. And I know that this is an invitation more than anything to be reborn. Some of us lived a certain way for so long and we wanted a second chance, a do-over. And that's the beauty of being reborn, is a new life that only God can give. So if you could go ahead and stand with me, let's just take a moment. If you would just bow your heads with me this morning. And then go ahead and bow your hearts. Father, we come before You today and we thank You that You are King of all. In the midst of all chaos, all turmoil, You are King of all. And Father, just like we sang today and just like we have been provoked to today, we desire to be close to You. We desire to be where You're at. And so, God, I pray that right now, if there is any person or people in here that are far from You, that feel so far away from You, I thank You that right now Your love is inviting them close. with every head bowed, if you're here today and you say, I know I am far from God, but I want to be close. I want you to just go ahead and raise your hand as a sign to the Father that you are acknowledging what he's doing in your heart right now. Amen. 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 You can go ahead and put your hands down. God, I thank you that you are doing the drawing in our lives. Father, I thank you that no matter how hard the case is, you are stronger still. No matter how great the sin is, grace does so much more abound from you. And so, God, I thank you that today your love is met with the limits of our sin, and it totally annihilates those limits. I thank you for causing rebirth to take place in our hearts and our minds. For every person that has been stuck in their minds and hearts, I pray for freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so every person that you encountered in Jesus, I thank you that you showed us what you can do when we read the scriptures, that the demon possessed can be delivered, that the sick can be made whole, that those that don't have a sound mind can have a sound mind because of who you are and what you did on the cross. And so, Father, I pray for those people that are here today that are sick in body. I ask God for healing. For those that are sick in heart, their hearts are broken. I thank you for being close to them and near them and healing their broken hearts. Those that are suffering in disappointment and fear and angst because of things going on around them, I pray that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard their hearts and minds today. I thank you that, Father God, today you are here and you're drawing us closer to you. As we leave this place today, Father, I pray that we would leave as people reborn, people made new, and that the old things, the old patterns and behaviors would change. And we would not make a practice of sinning, but Father, we would make a practice of walking into deliverance, make a practice of walking into freedom. Does this mean we never sin again? No, but I thank you that we don't make a practice of lying any longer because we've been set free by the truth. I thank you, Father God, that you've given us another option today. We gladly receive it. We accept it and we walk in it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.